All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this great Sunday and this great day, and we hope you can come into our hearts and lead us through this great class with Jim and all his knowledge, and we're so appreciative of him and all he brings to this class, and we ask everyone in this class to just find their heart to just stick with this and to find out more about Jesus and spread the word. We thank you, Lord, for all everything you do for us. Amen.
Amen.
I was scared, guys.
Did you start sweating?
Yeah. I can't control it. Sometimes I'm all right, sometimes I'm not. I don't know why.
Hey, you ought to have seen me the other day when I was doing that funeral.
You scared?
When I went to church Wednesday night, they told me they couldn't find any of the songs that the family requested. I had to go home. 9 o'clock. I tried to call the family. They were already in bed. I finally got enough songs, and we went through a bunch of songs and got them off. Dakota ripped them off on the CD, and we ran down there and gave them to them the next morning. I went in there empty-handed. They couldn't find a cameraman. I had to run my own camera. Even in the big auditorium, I had to do everything myself still. Anyway,
I shouldn't be nervous up there.
I was sweating. I was sweating, boy. I mean, sweating bullets. It was terrible. But I got up there. One thing about it, I didn't have time to be nervous. I was running around there trying to find extension cords, hooking everything up. And I sat down 2 minutes before the memorial service started, and people were pouring in those doors as fast as they could get in the doors. That place was, the whole bottom end was filled up. As far as I could tell, it was full.
Shows how talented you are, Jim.
Wasn't me. It didn't have anything to do with me. It had to do everything with Jerry Harwell. People loved him. Mark 7 and verse 14. The title of this message is, "That which defiles a man." That which defiles a man. That which defiles a man. And there's a lot of things in here from the Greek that I'm going to have to read to you. So I'm going to go from the Greek again. Just bear with me and as I cripple along in English. All right? And having called again the crowd, that word is oklone. How many people is in an oklone? Huh? How many people is in an oklone? Huh? 5,000 plus. So there was at least 5,000 plus people there. And he kept on saying to them, "You hear me, all, and all of you understand." I want you to put this together, every one of you now. I want you to all hear me, and I want you to understand what I'm about to say to you, because it is very, very important. Now the Pharisees, you know, they were griping at his disciples because they didn't wash their hands ceremonially. And they didn't wear their clothes exactly like they were supposed to. They didn't do exactly like all these religious people did. So it was not according to Hoyle, according to their rules. And Jesus is going to tell them a little story now. He's going to tell them a story about what man really is. This is the real story of mankind that Jesus is going to reveal to them and to us. Verse number 15. There is nothing from without, from the outside of the man, having entered into him, which is able to make him common or defile him. To make him common or defile him. But the things out, coming out of the man, that's in the oblative case, Brother Roger. Oblative. The case of origin, isn't it? Oblative. In Greek, there are 8 cases. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. And the Greek tells you exactly everything about every word, every noun. And right here, this is in the oblative. This is the case of origin. Where the evil is inside of man, in his soul, and his evil spirit. Okay? But, strong adversative conjunction there, that's the Allah, okay? but the things out of the man, having come forth, these are the ones defiling the man. Nothing on the outside is going to defile a man. All right. Now, he's not talking about mercury and arsenic that I just ingested here a while back and definitely defiled me and shook me to pieces. And by the power of God, I lived through it anyway, didn't it? Now, I was supposed to kill, I had enough in me to kill 9 people, but that didn't bother me either. It didn't bother my spirit one little bit. All through all this thing, I just tried to make one class at a time. I didn't know I was going to live very long, but I see, this is Sunday. Wednesday, when I preach Wednesday, I say, I'll see if I can make it to Sunday. And I just keep on putting one foot in front of the other until I got here Sunday morning. I said, well, I'll see if I can do it Sunday night. And I did it Sunday night. And then aim for the next Wednesday. We need to think about spiritual things, because that's the only thing that lasts anyway, isn't it? And when entered into the house, all right, when he had entered into the house, away from the people, away from the crowd, that large 5,000 plus people, his disciples kept on interrogating him. His disciples kept on interrogating him. That mathetes, what's the mathetes mean? Habitual learners, all right? His habitual learners, those that small, very close-knit group of people. And how many were in the closest group of him with him? There was at least 12. But there were more in that little faithful church that was following him. There were maybe 100, okay? But here they're in the house. I mean, they bust the walls out wherever they go. And they asked him, they kept on questioning him concerning the parable, the parabole. All right, the parable. Now, that was a parable. Okay? And he says to them in this way also, you just can't get it together. You're just like them. You can't get anything together. Don't you understand? Can't you spiritually understand that word is noose there? That word for mind is noose. Remember what noose means? We got our word noodle from that. In your mind, okay? In your mind. Noose. That all from without, having entered into the man, not it is able him to defile. Because not it enters, it doesn't enter into him, unto his heart, his cardia. The word cardia there, you might translate that over to suke or pneuma, spirit or soul. What you enter into your mouth, I don't care what you take and eat, it's not going to affect your soul or your spirit. Okay? It will affect your body, and that's temporal anyway, isn't it? But unto the belly it goes. Unto the belly it goes. And then out the drain. Out the bowels. Through the belly and out the bowels it goes. Purging all of the foods. The bowels purge all the food. Have any of you ever eaten spoiled food? Anybody ever eaten spoiled food? You ever had a little bit of food poisoning? What happens? What does your body do when you eat spoiled food? Diarrhea and vomiting. It gets rid of it out the drains. Both ends, most of the time. Gets rid of it. Okay? Then he kept on saying, over and over and over again, this is, Mark was a master of the imperfect tense, that out of the man coming forth, it does not, that thing cannot defile the man. Verse 21. For the things from without, all right, or the things from within, the things from the men, out of the heart, out of the soul, out of the spirit of the man, of men, of mankind, all right, this is plural, of mankind. That means you too. Brett, you're involved here. Brother Mike, even though you're a good guitar player and got up here and led, you had a lost soul one time, didn't you? Every one of us are lost. We're all undone. We all need to get saved the same way. The heart of the mankind. The secret thoughts. Dialogismoi. The secret thoughts. The secret thoughts in your mind. You ever have bad thoughts? Does anybody here not have bad thoughts? I want to know something. I want to meet somebody. Does anybody here ever not have bad thoughts? The secret thoughts and the Adamic evil. All right, the secret thoughts. And the next word, that word is dialogismoi, and then the ones Adamically evil. Kakoi. Kakos is what it comes from. Having come forth. And then it says fornications. Porneriai. Fornications, plural. Lots of fornications. All right? Lots of fornications. All kinds of fornications. Whoring and whoring after whores. That's what it's talking about, literally. And then we have the word for thief there. We have kleptomaniacs, people that just cannot walk into a store without stealing something. And they steal a little thing here, and they steal a little thing there. And they keep trying to test the water, see how much they can steal and get by with it. Stealing and stealing and stealing. Thefts. And then we have murderers. Where does the idea to murder originate? In a lost man's soul. That's right, in a lost man's soul. Murderers. And here we have another word for whoring and whoring around, and that word is moikeia. This word, it means chambering. I think chambering is one of the things. It's where all they do is just think about who that they can, a woman, who can they conquer the next sexually, and a man, the same thing with the women. The chase is on. Sexual addictions. And greediness. Boy, Jesus is just telling us all about it, isn't he? Greediness, that means to sail around and grab everything that you can grab. Pleonexia. And then we have the word twisted ideas, twisted actions. This is the word porneria again, twisted actions. A twisted sense of behavior, twisted behavior. That word comes from porneria again. Twisted evil, practiced evil, perfected evil, polished evil, real good liars. Then we have the word dolos. That means deceit. The deceiver. Who is a great deceiver? Hey, Satan. Lucifer. He's a great deceiver. And then we have the word unbridled lust, aselgia. Unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. There was a time in the history of mankind when men danced together and women danced together. Did you? I mean, if you look in the Middle East cultures, the women don't dance with men. Did you know that? They don't do that. Men don't dance. Men dance with men and women dance with women. They do that. That's the way they dance. And they dance and always in festivals. Okay? And then, in the 1400s, 1500s, in England, men and women started dancing together, kind of a courtship dance, and these great big, these lords and princes and all that stuff, they started dancing together. Then by the gay 90s, you ever heard of the gay 90s? You know where most of the evil in this world originated? Was in the good state of America. That's right. In the 90s. Okay? There was one other place that was really evil, and that was Paris, France. Paris, France, and Americas. In Chicago, and the big New York and the big cities, they began to dance. And that's what we had, what we called the gay 90s. And then the roaring what? The roaring 20s. Boy, that's where it all began. That's where evil was just unleashed upon mankind. The burlesque shows. And then men and women started dancing together and dancing in erotic ways. That's this word right here. That's this word. That's what it is. And now, we've got the raging 2000s. From 1950, 40s onward was just a slippery grease sled for the soul of mankind. Ophthalmos. The eye of evil. This word poneros comes out over and over and over in this sentence. Evil eyes. An evil eye. A man or a woman that cannot look upon another man or woman that without thinking evil, without planting and plotting evil. The evil eye. We hear about the evil eye. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is the evil eye. And then blasphemia. This word blasphemia here, that's where we get a word blaspheme. What do you do when you blaspheme somebody? You what? No, what do you do when you blaspheme someone?
Talk bad about them.
You talk bad about somebody. This evil about them, all right? Blasphemies. Okay? We talk evil about God. We use God's name in vain. Well, the Jews were so afraid to use God's name, they never would speak the name Jehovah. They wouldn't say it. They're afraid to say it. So they refer to it as Hadabar, the word, or Hashem, the name, or what? Adonai. Lord. They wouldn't speak His name, they were afraid to. But people will use God's name in vain constantly. You call them on the phone or see it out in public over and over again, and they're using God's name in vain. How many of you know Audie Murphy? Audie Murphy? He's a little guy, wasn't he? All right. Audie Murphy was a gentleman, though. He was a killer of men. That man killed more men probably than anybody in American history, as far as I know. In World War II. He was the most decorated soldier in World War II. He was a small man, little guy, little bitty guy. And over there in Hollywood, he'd go to the Hollywood, James Cagney let him move in with him. When he came out, they put him on the cover of Time magazine or something, Look magazine, Time magazine, and he got a lot of press after World War II, being the most decorated soldier. He looked like a kid. He killed hundreds of people before he was 21 years old. Billy the Kid had nothing on him. He looked like a baby face. They called him the baby face killer. The war tore him up emotionally. It tore him up. He had post-traumatic stress before they knew what it was. Before they even knew what it was, he had post-traumatic stress. Many soldiers came back with that. But when you're in battle, when you kill as many people as he killed, it affects you. He did a lot of movies. And different times he would get into conflicts with people. And he was little. Okay? He would go out on the movie sets, and he was really a good shot. You have to be a good shot to kill as many people as he did. Some officers came to him one time, and they were going to go out and do some reconnaissance out there, recon team, but they were officers. They came up to him, and he said, "Don't go any further. There's a lot of Germans out there." They came up to him, and they went on out. They didn't listen to him because they were all over out there, and he was a soldier. They went out there, and they got pinned down. He went out there, just slipped ahead of them, got ahead all the Germans, and killed every German. And then went over there and started joking with them. They stood there. They were bawling and squalling, tears coming down their faces. They didn't know how in the world this guy could kill all those people and just come back and laugh about it. He was used to killing people. He killed people. They hired him as a sheriff, as a deputy sheriff in Texas. And the first thing he did was shoot somebody. So they took his badge. Somebody was being a little hard to handle. He just shot him. Out there in the out on the movie sets, he was using live ammunition. He'd shoot every snake and lizard and jackrabbit and coyote. And they said he could shoot so far with his pistols, they said he'd like somebody shooting with a rifle. And then he'd have conflicts and confrontations. There was a lot of big actors, weren't there? A lot of them. How tall was John Wayne? 6'5", something like that. Great big people that he was working with. Gary Cooper. I have a gun that I traded for that Gary Cooper had made for Audie Murphy. And he took a blank gun and put clay on the handles, and he got Audie Murphy's handprints and fingerprints on that gun. And I have that gun. That he put in, and it was one of the guns that he shot on the sets and made these long distance shots with. They were afraid of him. Some of the directors and the other actors would give him trouble sometime. And they would go to parties. And there was great big. There was a big old boy called Bad Boy. Down in Lone Pine, California. You see, when I was up there, I lived up there when they were doing all these movies. And Paladin and all of these guys up there. This one Bad Boy get real rowdy and he cussed real bad. And Audie Murphy went up to him and he said, "Please don't cuss in front of these women." And he laughed at him. He sat down and he started cussing again. And Audie Murphy says, he walked up to this great big man and he said, "Get out of here now. Leave. Your welcome's done." That man looked at him and he looked at Audie Murphy's eyes and they said he just turned white. That was a killer telling him that. A man that had killed many men. He slunk off like a egg-sucking dog. And he was twice, three times his size. Because he knew he had met more than his match. More than his match. Evil eyes, blasphemies, arrogance. People that think that you can shine over anybody. Arrogance. Arrogance. That old big boy was arrogant until he looked in the eyes of Audie Murphy, that little man. When he looked into those eyes, he saw death. So many people out in the world today don't realize who they're blaspheming against when they're using God's name in vain. You know, Jesus was the Savior of all mankind, but one of these days his eyes are going to be a flame of fire. They're going to be like looking in the eyes of Audie Murphy, the eyes of death. But it's going to be eternal death. Eternal judgment. And then we have the word foolishness. Brainless. Brainless. That's what it means, brainless. It comes from the word frame. It means unthinking, brainless. It says all of these things, the things evil from within, they come out. And they make the man defiled. They make the man defiled. They defile the man. Verse number 24. We start on a different subject. And from there, having risen up, having stood up, he went away into the the district of Tyre. Remember Tyre and Sidon in the Bible? This is where he was. And entered into the house of one. And entered into the house of one who would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. They tried to hide him when he entered into that house, but they were not able to hide him. Not able to hide him. His fame had preceded him. But immediately, having heard a woman about him that had a daughter with an unclean, an evil spirit in her. That's one of these evil spirits that's in the rest of these people in the world, okay? She fell at his feet. Having come, she fell at his feet. And the woman kept on being a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. That's word by gene, is what it word, gene. Genetic structures. Genetic structure comes from this word gene in Greek. And she kept on interrogating him in order that the demon he might throw out of the daughter of her. And he kept on saying to her, "Permit, allow me first, that the children, allow me first that the children's bread, not it is good to cast it to dogs." You know what Jesus had called her? Jesus called her a dog. Because she was a Gentile, wasn't she? She was a Greek, she was a Syrophoenician, she was, and Jesus intentionally insulted her. You know why he did it? To see what she was made out of. First of all, when you insult somebody's race, that'll kind of make them mad, doesn't it? It makes them mad. He did. He insulted her race just to see what she would do. What are you going to be made out of, woman? And let's see what she answers him now. Let's see what she says. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord." Yeah, you're right, Lord. I am a dog. I am a dog, Lord, at Master Jehovah, is what she called him. Master of the heaven and the earth. And she said, "And the little dogs, and the little dogs under the table eat from the crumbs of the children." Eat from the fling of the children. You know that, what the children don't want? They throw it on the floor, and the little dogs eat it, the puppies eat it. And he said to her, "Because of this, the word you go has gone out of your daughter of you, the demon." And having gone away to her house, she found the child having been laid upon the cline, that means the bed. This is where we get a word clinic in English. And the demon having gone out. Now she's laying down and she's resting now. She's resting. Verse number 31 starts another subject. And again, having gone out of the district of Tyre, he came unto Sidon, unto the sea of the Galilee, and in the midst of the district of Decapolis. Decapolis. Did we run into Decapolis before? When did we run into Decapolis before? Had Jesus sent a missionary to Decapolis? Had he sent a man that was a missionary to Decapolis? Who was the man that he sent to Decapolis? Brother David?
The man had all the demons.
That's right. The Gadarene demoniac had gone there, and he had prepared the place for Jesus. Now, we know that there's a lot of churches that were built in Decapolis. Now, Jesus is going into Decapolis. He's going on the mission field. He's got a missionary. He sent out a missionary. They called him Legion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they called him Legion. That was the demons that were in the Legion because there were so many. There's at least 2,000 demons in him. Now, talking about missionaries. Have any of you ever read this book, Lives Given, Not Taken? Brother Lee Kupfer gave this to me here a while back. This student, this girl right here, this martyr, she was my Sunday school student. Right there. Karen Watson. Karen Watson. Karen Watson. Karen Watson lived a hard life. She came from a broken home. Her mother and father got a divorce, and she suffered from that from the time she was very little. She was a hard girl. She grew up real hard. She drank a lot. She ran a pool hall, and she was a rough character. She was rough. And she was a sheriff's officer also. And she was so rough, she didn't even date seriously with anybody. Finally, she ran into somebody. Somebody came into her pool hall, and she made it one of her own personal rules that she didn't have anything to do with the people in there personally. This guy came in, and he challenged her to a game of pool. He said, "Now, what we're going to bet on," he says, "I want to date with you if I win." And she said, "Well, you're not going to win." He won. He beat her. She had a date with him. And he fell crazy over head over heels in love with him. He rode horses and everything, and he took her, and he treated her like a lady and everything, and he loved her. And they were going to get married. A deranged member of his family killed him and his mother and father before the wedding. It blew her up. The only thing that ever really made her happy was this man. Then she finally got in contact with her father. That was it. And she started visiting with her father, and her father was suddenly killed. And amidst all of this, she started going to a little old church, I think the one out there by us. What's the name of that church out there by us, Marilyn? That little old church on Taft Highway?
Grace Community.
Grace Community Church. And then she started coming to Valley Baptist Church. And she came to one of my Sunday school classes one time, and they had requested that I preach on hell. And I preached on hell. And she was greatly offended and left that class bawling her eyes out. Went to the pastors and told them, "I don't think anybody ought to preach on hell. I'm a young Christian." She had been saved. She asked the Lord to save her soul. And she could not stand that people were going to hell. Nor people that she loved in her life were there in hell already. It broke her heart. Not too long after that, she surrendered to the mission field because she didn't want to see anybody else go to hell either. And she ended up in Iraq. That's her picture right there. Karen Watson. We had our funeral service. Did any of you go to that funeral service? Anybody here? You did. Karen went over there and she got in the middle of a war in Iraq. War was just fighting all over. She left for a little while because it got so rough. And she went back. And how many of you remember I won't say her last name, but Donna. Okay, she's still over there. Donna. Donna was her boss. Donna was the one that got me to teach in the Valley Baptist Church. This goes right. All of this is tied together, see. She got me to start teaching. She got me and told the pastor, "That guy can teach Greek. He knows all kinds of language." He said, "One of his books is a textbook at Bakersfield College that he wrote on American Indian culture." She knew all about me, Donna did. Well, she got me to teaching here. And she's still what we call International Mission Board. It says after she got over there, she went back and she was going to go back to Iraq. She was afraid, but she was going to go back to Iraq. Karen sold her house, sold her car, sold everything she had, gave away a whole lot of stuff. When she went to the mission field, she gave it all up. So did Donna. Donna did the same thing. Donna sold her car, she sold her house, she sold her business, sold everything she had. So did Karen. Sold it all, and what she didn't sell, she gave away to her friends. And she was over there, and she hardly ever bought anything for herself at all. Being on the mission field, rough. Now, we know who went on this mission field, don't we? The Gadarene demoniac. Okay, that's the one prepared the way for the Lord. Donna, when she went to the mission field, she went to Kosovo. She went over there in rough places. And she'd tell me every now and then, she said, "Me and Karen are listening to your sermons all over the world." She said, "I use you for illustrations, the thing you said, all the things you say. Is that all right?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Karen's really listening now. We're listening to your, you know, they download them all over the world, our website." Donna, when she went over there, they sleep out there, and the rats would come up and eat her, their feet. You know, in Vietnam, they did that too, Brother Roger. They go over there and eat your feet, and then they drink your blood. And they wake up with sores on their ankles and things. That was from the rats eating them up over there in those areas. Rough, rough country, I want to tell you. It takes real dedication to do this. For some reason, Karen bought a wedding diamond wedding ring and put it on her finger. Just before she went back the last time to Iraq. And they asked her why you did it, and she said, "I don't know, I just did it." Never said anything on herself. It says this letter was written a week before Karen Watson died, March 15, 2004, and it said it all. It made international news in the days afterwards. Gunmen killed Karen and three other Southern Baptist workers as they were surveying sites for humanitarian projects in northern Iraq. Missionary slain in Iraq mourned, read the headline in the Los Angeles Times. In a letter Karen Watson wrote to her church, she penned her own epitaph. Bill Neighbors, one of the pastors of Valley Baptist Church in Bakersfield, California, found the short letter in a sealed envelope marked, "Open in case of death." Among some of the things Karen left with the church when she departed for the Middle East, standing in the Valley Baptist pulpit, above a large framed photograph of Karen's smiling face and the casket that contained her body, neighbors read the handwritten note to more than 1,000 people who attended her funeral service, and it said, in part, "Dear Pastor Phil and Pastor Roger, you should only be opening this in the event of death. When God calls, there are no regrets." Remember that guy, when he got a Gadarene demoniac, when he got saved, what did he want to do? What did he want to do?
Go with Jesus.
"I want to follow you." And he said, "No. You go. You go. You go to Decapolis. And you go tell them what I did for you. You go touch their hearts with the gospel. When God calls, there are no regrets. I tried to share my heart with you as much as possible, my heart for the nations. I wasn't called to a place. I was called to Him." Do you think that Gadarene demoniac followed Jesus? Yeah, he did. "To obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. My glory, His glory, my reward. His glory, my reward." The missionary heart cares more than some think is wise, risk more than some think is safe, dreams more than some think is practical, expects more than some think is possible. I was called not to comfort or to success, but to what? Obedience. There is no joy outside knowing Jesus and serving Him. I love you too and my church family in His care. Salem, Karen. In that funeral, there were six full rows in the front of deputies. Karen was a rough case. She expected a lot out of people. She did. She expected a lot out of people. That was one of my students. One of the success stories of Valley Baptist Church. Here is one of the success stories of Jesus' ministry. Right here. One of the success stories of Jesus' ministry. Now let's see when he goes into this area that's been prepared by this missionary. And they carry to him a man deaf, speaking with great difficulty. And they beg him that he should put on him his hands. And he took him by the side, for away from the 5,000 people plus, they were close. Privately. And he put his fingers of him into the ears of him. And having spit, he touched the tongue of him. And looked up to the heaven. And he groaned. He groaned from within, deep from within him. And he says to him, Ephphatha, which is translated, be opened. And were opened to him the ears immediately. And was loosened the bounds of the tongue of him. And he spoke correctly, straightly, orthos. That word orthos right there. We have the orthopedic surgeons. Orthos. Straightly. And he ordered them that no one they should tell. The more he ordered them, the more exceedingly they proclaimed it. The more he told them not to do it, the more they went out carrying the word. Verse number 37. And way beyond super exceedingly above, beyond measure, they were astounded and astonished. Saying, all things he has worked, he has done, he has accomplished. Both the deaf he makes to hear and the dumb to speak. What else did he do? He raised the dead. He took prostitutes and made them into good women. Did he not? He took thieves and robbers. Zacchaeus, I'm going to have dinner with you in your house today. Oh, Lord, I have robbed, I have stolen, I have cheated. I'm going to just take care of everything. That's what he said to him. Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house. What did Zacchaeus start doing? Making amends. I knew a guy one time that was saved in my ministry. And he was really a nice guy, but he'd been working for this company. He'd been robbing that country. Company. Taking all kinds of stuff. He said, what am I going to do? I said, take it back. Just give it back. Just take it back a little at a time. Just take it back. That he did. It makes thief into a honest person. Makes a con man into a giver of life. It turns a blasphemer into a blasphemer. Someone that blasphemes, it turns them into a man of kind words and speaking the words of Jesus. What did it do to Karen's life? She had peace. She had a life of trouble. But once she came to know Jesus, this was her real father, the one she never had. It was her real love. And when they found out that Karen was killed, they said, well, she's with her bridegroom. She's with her husband today. She's with her husband. She went to be with Jesus. She went to be with Jesus. God can change lives, and He does, doesn't He? Has He changed your life? Are you here and you're saved? If you have been saved, if you have confessed with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, what does it do with your life? What does it do with your life? It changes your life. He changes you. He changes your goals. He changes your aspirations. You have different goals in life, don't you? Has your life been changed like that? Do you remember a time in your life when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him to save your soul and forgive your sin? What happened in your life afterwards? Did it change? Yeah. You're here alive in this Sunday school class today, aren't you? You know why? Because you've got something you need to do for the Lord. You're the Lord's servants today. This is the Lord's day. It's not your day. This is the Lord's day. Every day that you have in this world and every day that you live is not your day. It's Jesus' day. It belongs to Him. What are you going to do with your life from this moment on? Are you going to do like the Gadarene demoniac? I want to follow you, Jesus. He said, no, you can't follow me. Go over there and prepare a way for me. When Karen, when she heard me preach that sermon on hell, it tore her up inside. But it made a missionary out of her. I never told that story in public before. This is the first time I told this story. Never told it before. They told me to get a little bit easier on the people. I was too rough. I tell you what, I've always been reckless and wild and rough in my life. That's the way I've been. And I preach the same way. But I try to preach the truth. But I'm going to tell you something. God's Word is like fire in a lost man's heart. It is like fire in a saved person's heart. It will fire you up. It'll build fire underneath your seat. It won't let you sit there. You've got to do something for the Lord. What's God want for you to do today? What's He want you to do? You know you've got something to do, don't you? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Are you doing what you want to do? You ought to have new goals in your life. New goals. Thank you for your attention today. God bless you in your word. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Right now, of course, we're going to have our prayer leader, Brother David and Brett, and come up here a little bit, but we're going to pray first. And I want you to pray with me, and that if there's a place in your life that you need to live and give to the Lord, if there's something that you need to do, has God called you to do something that you're not doing, you need to do it. Surrender. The Gadarene demoniac says, I want to follow you, Jesus. He said, no, I got a job for you. Jesus got a job for you. He got one for you today. Our Heavenly Father, I pray if there's one here today, and I know there is, there's one here today that needs to surrender their life to service to you, I pray that they will. I pray that each and every person here that you comfort their hearts with your spirit, that you convict them of that which you are called them to do. I pray, Father, that if one here that's lost today, that they will not walk out of here lost, that they'll ask you right now at this moment to forgive them of their sins and to save, for you to save their soul. Forgive me where I failed you. I give my life to you. When I came to this church and I joined this church, a few weeks later I went down to the altar again and I said, I'm yours. Use me, and I've tried to do that ever since. And I thank you for what you've done, for the ministry that I've had here for almost 20 years. It hasn't always been easy, but I know who owns me. Father, let these here surrender their lives to you and make something out of their life. Make something out of their life besides just them. Forgive us for a failure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.